Blog Talk Radio. Now we're giving it up, but I want to hear y'all talk to the Lord and give y'all praise, because hallelujah is the highest praise. Can I hear you?
praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he truly is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is awesome. And most importantly, he is God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is such an awesome God, and he is worthy of the praise, worthy of the honor, and worthy of the glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, because truly God is in the midst of us, and he is in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Prophet, are you here with us, man of God?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Today we are taking a walk through the word of the Lord, praise God, so that we can see just how much God loves us and just how much he gave up to be with us. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And everything, praise God, that he went through just for us, he looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond your fault. He looked beyond our weakness. Praise God. And he said, that's my son. Oh, glory. He said, that's my daughter. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. He said, those are my children. Those are my people. And although they may not be where they need to be, I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to save them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to keep them. Oh, Jesus. He said, I want to be with my people. And my people need to be with me. Even if they don't know they need me, I know they need me. Just like a mother or a father, the children may not know that they need you, but they depend on you to look after them, to take care of them, to help them, to get them out of places and situations and circumstances where they place themselves in, and then they need you to rescue them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's seen you, praise God, where you were and said, no matter what my daughter has done, no matter what my son has done, I love you. I loved you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Before you ever knew anything about me as being father, as being God, as being king, as being awesome and mighty ruler, I loved you. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, to tell the people about Jesus and just how much he loved them and what he did for them, despite their faults, despite their weaknesses, despite their sins, despite their error, despite their trespasses, despite transgressions. He looked beyond all of that and saw a child that he wanted to save, that he wanted to help, that he wanted to rescue. Go forth, man of God.
Amen. You know, God in this season, you know, he looked beyond our faults and saw what we needed. See, because, yeah, you did that, but God realized that there is a king on the inside of you despite your mess. God said that there is somebody on the inside of you, and despite the mess, I'm looking for the treasure in the trash. I'm looking for the treasure in the trash of what you did. You know, he looked beyond all of our faults and saw what we needed. You know, there's even a song, you know, that says that means that he is not concerned, praise the Lord, with our faults.
Come on.
He's concerned with our needs.
Yes, Lord God.
He's not concerned with your failure. He's concerned of why you failed, because you need a savior.
Come on, Jesus.
He's concerned with, okay, he's not concerned with you didn't get it right. He's concerned with you need to know what holiness is.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He's not concerned with, okay, You disappointed me, but why do you keep disappointing me?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what pleases me. So I will look beyond everything that you are right tools, the right equipment, the right people in your life.
Come on.
And God will put people in your path that will encourage you. Because
yes.
You know what? They know they fail. They know they messed up, but they don't need folks that will beat them over their head all the time. They don't need folks to know what they are not. They need somebody that can look beyond where they are and see where they're going.
Yes,
and so
Lord.
God sees where you're going. He's not looking at how you fail. He's looking at where you're going, and he's saying, don't let your failure mess up where you're going.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because that's what I'm doing. I'm choosing you, Moses, even though you killed somebody. I'm choosing you, Paul, even though you killed Christians for a living. I'm choosing you, David, even though they put a woman in the bed just to see if you were alive. I'm choosing you because I'm not looking at your failure. I'm looking at the fact that I'm going to choose you as a deliverer for my people. I'm choosing that I'm getting ready to choose you as a king. I'm getting ready. I'm looking at the fact that you are going to be almighty man of God at the end of this.
Yes,
and I can't, hallelujah, throw you in the trash because there's treasures in you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
See, because
hallelujah.
You want to know what I see when I look at you. I just go to the book of Corinthians where it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes, Lord.
What do you mean, God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Don't you know I'm a sinner? Don't you know I done slept with the whole football team? We still have this treasure in earthen vessels. Don't you know that I done messed up? Don't you know that I didn't do it right? We still have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And he says that, and the scripture says, there's prophecy. Says that the excellency may be revealed of God and not of us.
Amen.
That means that it's not about your failure.
Come on.
It's not about your failure. It's about the glory of God.
Yes, Lord.
I need you. And this is what God is saying. I'm going to give it back over to prophecy. This is what God is saying. I needed you to fail so people could see how strong I am.
Ooh, come on, Jesus.
I need you to
Holy
fail.
Ghost.
I needed you to fail so that people can know that my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah.
I couldn't show that properly until you failed.
Come on.
I couldn't show the grace of God. Now, should you, because of the grace of God and because of God showing up greater in your life and it's showing that his strength is made perfect in your weakness, should I just fall on purpose? Because I want God to have an opportunity always to show his strength. Paul talks about this in the sixth chapter of Romans. He said, God forbid, but if you do fall, if you do fail, if you do mess up, know that God is not focused on what failed or what didn't work. He's going to look beyond what failed and what didn't work and use you. And when he is done making it, he's going to make it again another day.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I see the man of God is fired up over there. Praise God. Because, we're in a place where God is. And what do I mean by that? God is all about his people. Everything that he did from the beginning was for his people. He created the earth. He created the heavens. He created, praise God, he created the sun and the moon and the stars. He created the animals that would walk on land and those that would be in the water. He created food for us. He created a place for us to live, a place for us to dwell, a place for us to roam and to enjoy and to journey and to, praise God, to discover. He created a place for us. Glory to God. And God didn't need the earth. Oh, come on, somebody. God didn't and doesn't need the earth. We need the earth. Oh, come on now. He doesn't live on the earth, does he? We live on the earth. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Before there was an earth, there was God. Before the heavens were there, there was God. He was there. So let's start from the beginning. Glory to God. He did not need the earth. He built it for us. Did he not? He
Amen.
Built it for the people he would place in it. He made it good. He made it right. He made it beautiful. He did it for us. Where does God live? Let's just start with that. Where does God live? Where does he live? What does the Bible say the earth is to the Lord? Come on, prophet. What does the Bible say the earth is to the Lord?
Yes. Says the earth
the Bible
is the
says
most,
the
and
earth,
the fullness thereof.
And what else does it say about the earth? Amen, woman.
In the earth, everything upon the earth is the Lord.
Say that again, prophet.
Are you talking about that part of scripture that says the earth is the Lord and all those that dwell therein?
Well, no, but you're going there.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Praise God. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, I had to go there because I want you to see something. I want you to just hear me say something. I want you to see something. I want you to see what the Word has to say. I want you to see what God has to say. I want you to see, praise God, as well as hear. Glory to God. I know what I'm saying sounds strange. It sounds foreign. Oh, no, God don't need the earth. Yes, God needs the earth. No, we need the earth. We live on the earth. The earth was made for us. It wasn't made for him to live. Did God make the earth for himself to live in? Can we answer that question? Did God make the earth for himself to live in? Or did he make it for us to live in?
He made it for us.
Oh, come on now. Because there's no way he made it for himself. It wouldn't be big enough for him. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise God. Go with me, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so wonderful and so holy. Okay. Go with me into the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66. Praise God. And I want to give you some time to get there, people of God. Praise the Lord. But I want to establish something here with you today. That God is so wonderful. He is so awesome. He's so great. That he created this whole earth just for us. He did it for us. He didn't do it for himself because he didn't need it. He didn't need a place to live, but we did. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I pray that all of you have had time to get there in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Praise God. And if you are there in your Bible, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, we will take a look at the first verse of that book. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am placing it here into the chat room. Praise the Lord. For those of you who are listening in by the phone line, the chat room is currently open. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Those of you listening in by Facebook or Twitter, the chat room is open. Glory to God. So we're going into the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. And again, we will take a look at verse 1, Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. It reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the heavens is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" Oh, come on, somebody. See, because you simply thought I was speaking from my own mouth. You thought I was speaking carnally or from my flesh. But the Bible tells you right here, glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the book of Isaiah 66 and verse 1, thank you, Lord. I thank God for him being God, and I thank God for the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" So if the earth is God's footstool, okay, praise the Lord, I believe it is safe to say, praise God, that he didn't make it for himself to live in. Amen? Oh, come on, somebody. Glory to God. What is a footstool, prophet? Praise God. Explain to the people of God, man of God, what a footstool is. Prophet, are you there? Okay, I believe we've lost Prophet Morgan. Glory to God, and he will be calling back in. Praise the Lord. But what I want you to know, people of God, and what I want you to understand is God made the earth for us, not for himself. He made the earth for us to live in, praise God. Does God interact with us on the earth? Yes, he does, praise the Lord. But did he make the earth specifically for himself? No, he did not. He made the earth for us. The earth was for us to enjoy, for us to live in, for us to be happy with, for us to run and play and sing and dance and worship him and honor him and love on him, even in the earth that he created, but he did it for us. Praise God. And so we have the man of God back here with us. Prophet, tell the people what a footstool is.
Say again.
Tell the people what a footstool is.
Amen. Well, it's the place where you rest your feet.
Hallelujah.
You rest your
Lord.
In. And, you know, the Lord says that the earth is his footstool. So that's the place where you rest his feet.
Oh, come on, somebody. So it's safe to say it, the earth is a place where he rests his feet. Glory to God. He is so much bigger, praise the Lord, than the earth. Because the earth is the place where he rests his feet. Let's just think of a conventional footstool that we have. That is not big enough for you to live in or live on or lay down on, praise God. Oh, come on, somebody. A footstool is not big enough for you to rest your head at night, to get you some peace and some sleep and some comfort when you lay down. A footstool is not big enough for that. Oh, come on, people of God. A footstool, as Prophet just gave us, which is the definition of it, is a place where you rest your feet. So it is not big enough for you to live in. So it is safe to say if the earth is God's footstool, if it is where he lives his feet, then he did not make it for him to live in because it's not big enough for him. Is it safe to say, Prophet? Man of God, are you there?
Amen.
Praise God. But God made the earth for us because he knew he would put us in it. In the beginning, when he created the trees and he created the heavens and the earth and he created the moon and the stars and he created what we would eat, praise God.
Amen.
Then he created a man. If it was for him, he would have just put himself in it. Case closed. Oh, come on, somebody. I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to see that if it was specifically and only for him, glory to God, he would not have needed us in it. Oh, come on, people of God. When you buy a house, do you buy it for everybody or do you buy it for you and your family? Let's make it simple. Let's make it plain. When you buy a house, do you buy it for everybody else in the world, or do you buy it for you and your family?
You and your family.
Because if it was for everybody, you open up the door and let everybody in. Oh, come on now. See, we don't like to get real and go there. If it was for everybody, you'd have the door open and let everybody in. But, you know, everybody don't value what you have.
Not including giving everybody a key to.
Oh, come on. Well, why would they have need of a key? It's for everybody. You just leave the door open. They don't need a key. What do they need a key for? This house is for everybody. It's for all of us. If one person isn't there, somebody will be. Oh, come on, it's for everybody. It's not for a person in particular. It's for everybody. Hallelujah, yeah. Jesus. Praise God. But let us continue, because he was talking about the love of God. And I went through that to show you God loved us so much, he prepared a place for you. Amen?
Amen.
Call the earth. Glory to God. Along that same line, praise God, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Come on now. Glory to God. Now, I don't want you to go there. I'm just going to read what it says, praise God, in John 14:3. Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Glory to God. He said he went, praise the Lord. Or at that moment in time, he said he was going, praise God, where he now is, to prepare a place for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to see just how much God loves you. Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm reading also, praise the Lord, as I show you how much God loves you. Amen. Out of the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 2, praise the Lord, for verse 2 and verse 3, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." God loves us so much, praise the Lord, that in the heavens, everybody has a mansion. Jesus told us so. Oh, come on now. Come on, prophet. Is that not what it says in the Word of God?
Amen.
Come on, man of God. He said in his Father's house, which means in our Father's house, praise God, are many mansions.
Amen.
Which means we have a mansion in heaven, individually.
Amen.
If it was only one mansion, then you could take the S off, which makes it singular, correct?
Amen.
You put the S on it to make it plural, correct?
Yeah.
More than one. He has more than one child, so he needs more than one mansion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you that. Is that not the truth, prophet?
That is the truth.
That's what he's saying. If it was a lie, I wouldn't tell it to you, but I'm saying it to you because it's the truth. I go to prepare a place for you. So God loves us so much that Jesus went to prepare the place for us, praise God, where we would be. And when you prepare a place, that means you want to have it ready, glory to God, for when the person that you're preparing for comes. Is that not correct, prophet?
Yes.
Yeah, come on now. Let's just think about a hotel room. That hotel room is prepared before you get there. Is that not right?
Yeah.
The bed is already made. The refrigerator is already stocked. The TV is there. Praise God. The cable is already installed. The phone is on the nightstand. Praise the Lord. They used to have a Bible in the dresser. I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have it. Praise God.
Amen.
The bed is for sleeping or for sitting or for resting. Praise God. They got a chair that you can sit in, a table. Praise the Lord. Those things are already prepared for you. A bathroom is there with the shower, and depending on the kind of room you have, praise God, it could be a pool in your room. I mean, not a pool, praise God. A sauna in your room. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hot tub, rather, depending on the type of room you have. Your room could have a balcony so that you can stand over the balcony and look out and see, praise the Lord, the beach or whatever other scenery is there. That's a prepared place, is it not, prophet?
Amen.
That place is ready for you to enter and enjoy. There's nothing you have to do when you get there but get there. Come on now. You're not going to have to do anything for yourself when you get to heaven, but get there. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, somebody. You don't got to pick up your sheets and go make you a bed. Come on, prophet.
Amen.
Everything is already prepared. Because Jesus said he was going to prepare it for us. And if he said it, praise God, then I'm going to bank on it. Glory to God. If he said it, I believe it, because he is not a man that he should lie. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go into the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. So that you can see, despite who you were and despite what you did and despite what you would do, as God is perfecting you and cleansing you and cleaning you and leading you and guiding you and teaching you, praise God, I want you to see what God says about you and what how much he loves you and how he looks beyond your fault. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go with me in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you get to the book of Romans, chapter 5, we will look at verse 8. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were unlovable, he loved us. While we were doing anything and everything up under the sun that was not according to his word," praise God, "he loved us because he sent Jesus," praise the Lord, "to die for us," glory to God, "knowing that he would have to cleanse us and clean us up," praise the Lord, "because he tells us here, he demonstrated his love for us, even while we were still in our sins, because the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he died for us." Hallelujah, Jesus. Go forth, prophet. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. You know, Prophet Z was talking about while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's how much he looked beyond our fault, because
yeah.
Eve had messed up. They had created a fault in the garden. And notice how God did not, he dealt with what they did accordingly, but he didn't focus too much time on their failure.
Come on, Jesus.
He didn't focus too much time on their failure. Yes, God is going to address the things that you don't do right, but he is not going to spend an excessive amount of time on it.
Come on, Jesus.
And so he doesn't want you to. Yes, acknowledge you sinned, acknowledge you did wrong, acknowledge you did not do the right thing. But come on, don't dwell on this, because that's not the end of your life when you make a mistake.
Come on.
That is not the end of your life. Let's get beyond this and move higher. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about, hallelujah, about we are immature and still on milk, unable to eat solid food because we're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Okay, when it talks about that, is we have to understand the background of how that came, because Paul was upset with the Hebrews, because he said, by now, some of you ought to be teachers.
Amen.
But you keep focusing on the elementary things. You keep on thinking about your faults. You keep on dwelling on this and keeping yourself in a place that you don't need to be in. You know, that's why the Bible says, when we sin and when we
hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. For truly God is worthy of all the glory. He is worthy of all the honor. He is worthy of all the praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you, people of God. That's what I want you to know. The Lord our God, he loves you. It doesn't matter where you are today. You may say, well, God can't love me. Praise God, I'm a prostitute. Oh, yes, he can. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Well, God can't love me. I'm a murderer. Oh, yes, he can. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Well, God can't love me. I'm a racist. Oh, yes, he can. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Oh, God can't love me because I'm a thief. Oh, yes, he can. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Well, God can't love me because I'm a lesbian. I'm a homosexual. Oh, yes, he can. He loves you, and he died for you, and blood was shed for you just to show you how much he cares, to show you how much he loves you, to show you how much he's with you and he's for you. He died on the cross. He endured the shame. He was beaten and broken and bruised for you just to show you how much you mean to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Prophet, I do see you there. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't see your hand raised, man of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your mic is open. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
God can't love me. I'm an adulterer. Oh, yes, he can. He already knew what you would do before you did it and still sent Jesus Christ to die for you. How much more love can he show you? What else can he do to show you that he loves you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, praise the Lord. Well, in verse 15, praise God.
Amen.
Actually, that's verse 16. I was correct. John 3 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whoever would believe in his only Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. Oh, come on, somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that came out of the book of John, chapter 3, praise the Lord, verses 16 and 17. So if you need to know just how much God loves you, he loves you so much that he gave up his only child, his only begotten child through a virgin, praise God, through the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, the only child that he birthed into the world in that manner, glory be to God, without a woman having to lay with a man, praise God. He let Jesus die for you. He loved you just that much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go forth, prophet.
Amen. You know, as I was saying, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. And then
yes,
it also says that he is faithful and just to forgive. See, this is the thing. All of these avenues were set up because he says, my child, I know you're going to have failure. I know you're not going to do everything correct, but I don't want you to stop at your failure.
Come on.
I want you to go on to your success. So that's why I will make an advocate with the Father. That's why I set up these things. That's why Jesus' blood had to be pure, because I know at times yours is not going to be pure enough.
Come on.
I know at times you're going to fall by the wayside. But it is not in your failure. You have to learn how to get up from the fall. You have to learn
yes.
that the failure does not mark the end. Matter of fact, the fact that you made a mess, the fact that you did fail, means that God can use you.
Come on now.
The messenger is made out of the message you make.
Yeah.
That's what qualifies me to be a messenger, because I made a
mess. Come on.
That's what qualifies to tell other folks how to live and what to do, because I'm saying, I've been there, done that. Don't be like me, but go this way.
Yes, Lord.
Because God says, if you stop focusing on your failures, I'm going to mix it all in a bowl, and I'm going to stir it together, and I'm going to use it to bless somebody.
Yeah.
Don't cry over your failures. Don't waste time on your failures. But look at your God who says, man needs to be redeemed, so I am going to buy them back.
Thank you, Lord.
Buy them back, because man messed up. Yes, they got themselves in this mess.
Yes, Lord.
But let me look at this. It was their fault. They did. They had a fault. But let me see beyond that.
Come on.
Because I know that this woman that made the mistake and had that child out of wedlock, I know one day she's going to run the country. So I can't focus on the child she had out of wedlock and dismiss her destiny to run the country. So I got to get past this so she can get on to destiny and run
the
country.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I can't focus on the failure or she will never get to destiny.
Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And God is more concerned about your destiny than he are, than he is about your past failures. He's more concerned about, yes, that doesn't stop you from being in my service. Your failure doesn't stop you from being in my service, because when we read the story, prophecy of the potter, the Bible says he was making the vessel on the wheel. And while he was making it on the wheel, it says that the vessel became marred in his hand. You know, that means that I've made a mistake since I've been saved. I've made a mistake since I've been a Christian. I failed since I've been a Christian. But watch what the scripture says about this potter that is forming this clay. It doesn't say that he throws it in the trash, that there's nothing to become of that is in my hand. Nothing can be done because it's over. It became marred. It says that God made it enough, that the potter made it enough of that. It didn't say he threw it away. It didn't say he stamped no value on it because of mistake, because of failure, because of this, or because of that. But he made another vessel. The good thing about God, sir, God never disqualifies you as quick as people do. God doesn't disqualify you as quick as people. But this is what he does. He uses your failure. He says, that clay that was marred in my hand, again, like I said a while ago, he's not going to throw it away. He's going to use it another day.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm going to make something better.
Come on.
See, that's why you as a person, because God is looking beyond your fault and seeing your need, you as a person cannot, hallelujah, let your failure make you bitter.
Amen.
because God has so designed it that your failure is supposed to make you better, not bitter.
Man.
See, because it says he made it another vessel. And I imagine in my mind, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I imagine the second vessel was better than the first vessel.
Amen.
So he did not waste time. He did not say, you know, this the potter did not get down on himself and said, oh, I made a mistake. No, I can't do that because there are people waiting on the clay. There are people waiting on what is being fashioned on my wheel. There are people waiting on the anointing that you have, and God is saying, move past your feelings. Because, see, the Bible says that he does with our sin and our failures. He says, when we ask for forgiveness, prophecy, it says that he throws them. He throws our sin in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Forget about it.
Yes, Lord.
But the trick is, with the enemy, is God forgets about it, but it's hard because we're human for us to forget about it.
Amen.
And we need to focus on being in the place with God, not looking so hard at ourselves. Now, does that mean, prophecy, that I don't ever have self-check time where I have to check myself and say, you know, I'm really bad in the, in the area of patience. I'm really bad in the area of the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, you're supposed to check yourself and work on those issues.
Amen.
But see, this is what God is against. Some of us see the issue and park right there. Some of us see the problem and park at the problem when there's people waiting on what you have, because we'll park at the problem and then allow the problem to shut down the resources and things that we were meant to get out.
Amen.
And you need to understand that whom God calls, he qualifies.
Yeah.
And he qualifies you through your failures.
Amen.
You ain't qualified till you done went through it. You ain't qualified till you done failed. And because I went through it, you can't tell me not to talk about it. You can't tell me not to talk about it. Because I'm qualified in that. Because you have heard somebody say, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. They saying I'm qualified.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to talk for a moment, Prophet, and give some scripture. Psalm 103 and 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's how far God says, you know what? That's how far your sin is away from you and me. I don't even see it. As far as the east is from the west, you can't even measure that. Praise God. There is no way of measuring how far the east is from the west. If you found a way, let me know. Praise the Lord. Okay, Romans 3 and 23, praise God, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because you know what a person says? I see Sister Holy in the church, and, you know, she's got it all together, and she's doing everything right. And, you know, I don't have it all together yet, and I'm still tripping and falling and trying to work it out, and I'm trying to get there, but it doesn't look like I'm getting there. And you know what? She looks to be in a place where I'll never be. You know, I can't be like that. I can't be like her. You know, it looks too hard. You know, she makes it look like she never does any wrong. So, you know what? I don't know if I can do this Christian thing. I don't know if I can do this God thing. I don't know, you know, if I can continue in this place, because it doesn't feel like I'm, oh, Jesus. It doesn't feel, praise God, like I belong here. Sister Holy that you see, and I'm just going to say Holy. I'm not going to use any names. had to start from somewhere. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned. It didn't exclude anybody. It included everybody and come short of the glory of God. Because you know what? There was a day when she didn't look as good as she does when you saw her. There was a day when she looked the way you look, praise God. It may not have been doing the same things that you did, glory be to God, but there was a place in her life, there was an area that God had to work on and work out of her, glory be to God. There were some things that she did that were not so pleasing to God, praise God. Just like everybody and anybody else. So don't look at anybody and say, oh, my gosh, she's so holy and he's so holy. And you know what, I can never be him and I can never be her. You weren't called to be him or her, praise God. You were called to be you, glory to God. But every person on the face of this earth has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the scripture tells you, so that you don't have to think less of you and more of them. Go forth, prophet.
Amen. You know, and so this is just a word of encouragement to you. Everybody, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. And I want to read something, if I may, that I had on my Facebook page, if I can find it.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
People always post it. You know,
praise God. Well, as you're doing that, prophet, I'm going to go through some scriptures, so go ahead and look for that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to know that God loved you so much, praise God, that even before we got to the earth, he had already made a plan for all of us who would be on the earth that would sin and fall short of his glory. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, praise the Lord. This tells you beforehand that Jesus was coming. Praise God. That was foretold by the prophets. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because, see, he knew we needed him even before we knew we needed him. Praise God. He knew we couldn't live without him even before we knew we couldn't live without him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. That's just how much God cared for you and cared for you and loved you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, that he sent his only begotten son. And it was foretold, praise God, many, many years before Jesus ever came to the earth. Glory to God. In this book of Isaiah 9 and verse 6, that he was coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for what God is doing, because I know that he loves you so much. He cares for you so much, and he wants you to know, you can come to me, my son or my daughter, right now, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, you can come to me. I'm waiting for you. I'm not waiting for you to say, clean myself up first and come to me later. No, come to me. I'll clean you up. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. Just come. Because I have a plan for you. I have a plan that I've prepared for you for your life. Just come. Don't worry about having anything together, having it all or any part of it together. Just come. Don't worry about being good enough. Just come. Just get to that place where you realize I'm your helper and I'm here to help you. I'm your Father and I care. I'm your God. I'm your King. I want to have that relationship with you. So don't worry about where you are. Just come. Because I love you. I know where you are. Just come. I know who you are. I know what you've done. Just come. I know where you've been. Just come. Just come. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Don't try to figure any of it out. Just come.
Yeah.
into the arms of a loving Father who wants nothing but the best for you. Did you find your scripture, prophet? Praise God, not your scripture, but the post. Glory to God.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. And I got this lovely quote on Facebook. It says, "Do you seriously think God can't use you? Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem."
Amen.
It says, and, amen. "Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young." It says Elijah was, Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran away from God. Isaiah preached naked. It says Jacob went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying.
Come on.
The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Lazarus was dead.
Come on.
Did you seriously think God cannot use you?
Come on.
Now, all of these great people in the post that I read, their failures were revealed.
Come on.
But why? You have to ask yourself, when you look at these great people of the Bible, the Noahs, the Jacobs, the Abrahams, the Rahabs, the Elijahs, the Isaiahs, the Jonas, the Jobs, the Lazaruses, the Pauls, the Peters, why were they used so greatly? And why was they so revered? Because God looked beyond their failures.
Man. Yes, Lord. See,
Paul, let me just talk about Paul for a minute. Paul was religious in the fact that he killed people in the name of his religion. He killed real Christians in the name of his religion. But watch this. When Paul got converted from Paul the Christian killer to Paul the apostle, the disciples did not even believe that he was called.
Come on.
They didn't want him preaching.
Amen.
Because they didn't believe. You the same one that used to kill us. You the same one that we were hiding from. Now all of a sudden you want us to believe that you've had this change of heart on the road to Damascus.
Come on, Jesus.
And God had to prove him. God had to work with him to now reestablish what they thought about him.
Come on.
Reestablish his path. And so you don't need to worry about your failure. Just let God work with you and reestablish you to set your feet on solid ground, to set your feet all right, to make another vessel out of you.
Come on.
All the epistles that we mostly preach from, we preach a majority out of Paul's writings.
Come on.
The same one that would look for us and hunt us back to kill him.
Come on.
We preach from his writing.
Yes, Lord.
The same one that was too young to preach, Jeremiah, we also preach from his writing. Peter, the one that got so bad about Christ being dead and going to be betrayed that he cut one of the soldiers' ear off.
Come on.
We preach from his writing.
Yes, Lord.
Well, you know, Peter, the one that we talk about how he
Oh, come on.
Died. and he followed Christ afar off. You know why? Because he wasn't sure that he wanted to be identified with.
Come on.
Peter.
Oh, let's go a little further now. Let's go a little further. Thomas doubted. Oh, come on. He said, there is no way I'm going to believe unless I see him myself and put my hands in his hole. Come on now, put my fingers in the holes in his hands.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. You know, because this is what it means that here. All of these are false people of God. False and messed up. It's just like Prophet Ezekiel, all of the glory of God. The Bible says, if you say you have sin, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you.
Yeah.
So come on. God is saying all of y'all done messed up. So let's get past the failure.
Come on.
Let's get past what did not work. Let's get past what failed, and now get into what's going to be right because you have me in your life. Because you have the redeemed. See?
Yes.
God, well, we want you to know today that no matter what you've done, God can wash it away.
Yes.
It is washed. It will not be washed out of the minds of people. You are not here. You are designed, created, and hallelujah, birthed out to live for an audience of one.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You are supposed to bring forth your glory. Your glory. You are supposed to glorify him. So what other people say don't matter.
Amen.
I love God because it says that his prophet is being said that his mercy is new every morning.
Yeah.
That means that God says every morning you have a clean slate.
Come on.
Every morning that you wake up, you got a clean slate. And here's what you can do. You can now rewrite your story.
Come on, Jesus.
What do you want me to think about you today? We'll start writing it when you wake up in the morning. Because I ripped out yesterday's page. I ripped out yesterday's failures. I ripped
Come
out
on.
Everything yesterday that did not work, that failed, that broke your heart. I ripped out, oh, Jesus. I ripped out all of that, and now I want you to write a new story.
Yes, Lord.
I don't judge the book by its cover, because my book ain't finished. My book
on,
is
Jesus.
Not finished until I die. My book is
Come
not
on.
Finished. You can talk about what a liar I was. You can talk about what a drunkard I was. You can talk about, but don't rejoice yet, oh my enemy.
Come on, Jesus.
Until I fall, I shall arise.
Yes, Lord.
My God, we've got to understand that God is not concerned about that. Because even though, watch this, even though, and this is the kicker right here, even though God says, Peter, you're going to deny me before the clock crows three times, you're going to fail, Peter. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. He said, you're going to do the wrong thing, Peter. But Peter did all of that, and then all of that stuff happened, and then Christ died and was risen again and got ready to reveal himself to his disciples. He said, tell my disciples and Peter, regardless of his failure.
Come on.
Tell my disciples and Peter. And that's what God is saying. Yeah, you failed and you did wrong, but tell my disciples, you tell the prophet that these, tell my children and Sally, tell my children
Come on.
And Joe, tell
Come
my
on.
Children and Susan, tell my children and Lisa to
come, on.
Come
alone.
I know I shouldn't meet with them because they've been such a failure. I know I shouldn't talk to them because they've been such a disappointment, but I'm not looking at that.
Come on.
I'm looking at what they can be, what they shall
Come
be.
On.
I'm looking
Praise
at
the
bigger picture. And so that's why I'm so thankful that we serve a God. And you know, and I'm handing it over to the prophecy because, you know, I believe everything has been said, but that's why we serve a God that does not focus on our failures.
Amen.
Because you know why? Because he called royalty. Because he said, you are royal priesthood. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You mean that God will write on my life that I'm a royal priesthood, even though I've been in the club dancing, people?
Come on.
He would call me royalty when I've been anything but royalty.
Come on.
He would call me royalty even when I done had 6 or 7 husbands.
Come on.
He would call me royalty when I've been used up, abused, and driven around the block so many times I don't even want to look at myself straight in the mirror.
Come on.
He would call me royalty.
Come on.
Yes. You, he was called royal because his grace is sufficient in your weakness.
Amen.
Where you are weak, God is strong. That's why it says he used the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. You know why? Because after all that you've done, it's foolish for God to call you to be a preacher. After
Amen.
All that you've done, it's foolish for him to say that you're going to pastor a church of 3,000 people. It's foolish
Amen.
To them. But God says he doesn't care.
Amen.
Because that's what your God specializes in. So I want to tell you, my closing remarks today, don't focus on your failure. Focus on the success and the power of your God.
Praise the Lord. People of God, God wants you to understand. As it says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I love what the NIV says. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. Where you have been, or where you might be, or where you may even have become, praise God, or have come to, glory be to God. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, not the thoughts that you think about yourself, not the thoughts that other people think about you, because all we can look at is where you've been and what you've done and how much sin you have been in, or how many transgressions or how many sins or trespasses you've done, praise God. But God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. He didn't say the thoughts that other people are thinking. Well, you know, she used to be a whore. Well, you know, he was a thief. Well, you know, he was a pimp. Well, you know, he was a womanizer and a whoremonger. Well, you know, he used to rob and steal. Well, you know, he sold drugs. That is not what God is looking at. God said, I know the thought that I think toward you. He said, the thought that he thinks. God does not talk to you about what other people think about you. He talks to you about how he thinks and feels about you. Other people didn't die for you. Other people didn't shed blood for you. Other people didn't go to the cross for you and get beat beyond recognition and have their body broken and have a spear stuck in them and a crown of thorns on their head and nails in their hands and their feet. Other people didn't do that for you, but Jesus did. So he's not talking to you about what Michelle thinks or about what Rachel thinks or about what Tawanda thinks. He's not talking to you about what Mike thinks, about what Greg thinks, about what Richard thinks. He's not talking to you about what Dan thinks or about what Kelly thinks. He's talking to you about what he thinks because he's the one that did it all for you. He's not going to ask you what they think. He doesn't care what they think. What he cares about is you as his child. What he cares about is the life that he has planned and thought out for you, not the life you've already lived. That life must come to an end. He is talking about the life that he came to give you, the life that would be anything, praise God, would be beyond anything that you could have thought or imagined, praise God. The life that will make you truly happy. The life that will put and keep a smile on your face. Well, you don't have to mask it. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to pretend. You can be actually happy. You can have some real joy. Praise God. You can be upbeat and have a positive or optimistic outlook about life, praise the Lord, because you know what Jesus did for you. You know just how much God cares.
Yeah.
Glory to God. God says in his word, he would that none perish. He does not want anyone to perish. He does not want anyone not to accept the gift and the offering that he has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. The atonement, the sacrifice he offered for our sins. Glory to God. I want to read you a scripture, praise God. Glory to God. Because I want you to know what God thinks about you, what God says about you and to you. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. I'm going to read this out of the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 33. And I'm going to read verse 11. I'm going to place this into the chat room. But you can see just how much God cares about you, just how much he loves you. Praise the Lord. It says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Oh, come on, people of God. He said, I don't want anybody to die and not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He said, I really don't want anybody to die without accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want you to know. Come on now. That I'm here for you. I want you to know that even though you may have been where you've been and did what you've done, I am here ready to receive you. Like the story of the prodigal son. Think it not strange that that story is in that Bible, because it is there for you and me. It is there so that you can see that you were a prodigal son or a daughter, and he waited for you to come home. Oh, come on, somebody. For you to see that, you know what, this is not where I want to be. This is not where I need to be. People don't love me like they appear to love me. They don't care about me like they appear to care about me. They don't have my best interest at heart and mind, but at home where my Father is. Praise the Lord. I can be nurtured, and I can be taken care of, and I can be helped in my Father's house, in God's house. He's waiting for you. If you have not yet made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, he's waiting on you. Don't look at where you've been. Don't look at where you are. Just look to the Father who loves you. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to come to him. Make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Not just your Savior, just the rescue, but make him Lord. Because he wants to keep you. Make him King. Let him rule. Let him show you what it's like to live in the kingdom. Let him show you what it's like to be a son of the King, a daughter of the King. Let him show you what it's like not to have to take care of yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. Let him show you what it's like to be taken care of. Let him show you what it's like not to have to worry about anything that pertains to this life, but to know that I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Let him show you that he can take care of you. You don't have to worry about what you eat or what you drink or where you live. Let him show you that he can take care of all your needs. Oh, come on, somebody. Because he's your Father, and he's your God, and he's your King. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. And he's waiting for you to come home. If you have not come home yet, he's waiting. The door is open, praise God. He has an open door policy. You can come to him at any time. And he's ready to receive you back into the house. People, praise God, if you hurt them, glory be to God, they don't want to receive you. Oh, come on, somebody. I'll raise my hand. When I felt hurt and, like, people hurt me, I didn't want to receive them. I didn't want to love on them. I didn't want to talk to them. Praise God. But thanks be to God who says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Because no matter what we did or what we have done, he still said, I want to talk to you. I want to help you. I'm going to love on her. I'm going to love on him. Well, don't you know that he was this and I don't care. I'm going to help him. Well, don't you know that she did so-and-so and she was a no good, low down. I don't care. That's my daughter. I'm going to help her. Oh, come on, somebody. God is not in the business of telling you what you are not. God is not in the business of breaking you down so that your spirit is just so low that you can't get picked up off the floor even if somebody tries. Like water, just pouring out water. It doesn't come back solid at all. God is not in the business of destroying you or tearing you down. He's in the business of building you up. And he loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. All he wants is the opportunity to have a relationship with you, father to daughter, father to son. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't be discouraged. Don't look down on yourself. Whatever you can't do, God will help you do. Whatever you couldn't do on your own, you can do through Christ. Don't look at where you've been or where you are. Look at where God's taking you, because he said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I want to heal you. I want to help you. I want to bless you and increase you and prosper you. I want to give you a hope and a future. I want to give you an expected end. Glory to God. He's here for you, as he's always been. All he wants you to do is to come. If you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I ask you to do so today. Praise God. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he did die on the cross and shed your blood, shed his blood for you. All you have to do is just believe in him as Lord and Savior. Believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Believe that God sent him to die for you. Believe that he laid down his life for you. Believe that he is the way, the life, and the truth. Believe that he is the door that you must come through. Because the Bible tells you no man can come to the Father except he go through the Son. If you believe that, and that God sent him to help you, God sent him to die for you, God sent him to make a way back to the Father. Glory to God. Father, if you lead them into the sinner's prayer, glory to God.
Say it again.
Will you lead them into the sinner's prayer?
Amen. All you have to do, praise God, if you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says, Jesus says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Amen. And on today, we want to make sure that before we leave this broadcast, heaven is your home. And so today, if you are sinned, all you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Repent unto God, saying to God that I acknowledge, Father, that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, in need of your love, Father, in need of everything that you have to offer me as a new citizen, a new child of yours in your kingdom. And I want to receive you today. I want to be a part of your family today. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. And so today we want to challenge you to make that commitment. To make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. To serve him until the day that you die. Because let me tell you something, my beloved. One day death will close your eyes. Death will close your eyes. The thing of it is, on what side of God's judgment will you be set?
Amen.
On what side will you be standing with the Lord? Because forget what they teach in college. I am here to tell you, and I don't care what kind of emails I get. I don't care what kind of things would come my way because I said this. But what they teach in college is a bunch of trash. That is not true. All of that Big Bang Theory, let me tell you something. All of that, that is to get you into a place
where the Bible says there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the fire is unquenchable.
Amen.
See, we don't want you to go to that place, but we urge you, we beg you with all sincerity, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ raised Jesus from the dead, and just let God know how you feel. Now I said some things that you could say, but I don't want you to repeat my words. I want you to tell him in your own way. Because sometimes we get caught up in just repeating after the preacher, and it really means nothing to us. And God does not accept it unless it comes from your heart. And so you tell him. You talk to him. You talk to him. But we need you. Do you not say today, I would not leave this broadcast without making your calling and election sure before God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise God. I pray that you make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. If you have not, it's simple. You don't have to pray anything eloquent. You don't have to pray anything long. Lord God or Father God, I am sorry for the things that I've said and done in my life. I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I know it is not right and pleasing unto you. I want to turn away from that life and turn towards you. Turn towards heaven. I want to be ready and heaven bound. I want to make you, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my life. Teach me and show me how to live. Show me the way in which I should go. Keep me on the path of the straight and narrow. And I want to live for God. I want to live for you. And I want to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I thank you for accepting me. I thank you for adopting me. I thank you for redeeming me and restoring me and reconciling me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. If you truly believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you and that he was resurrected for you and that he now sits in heaven at the right hand of God, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. We want to say thank you for making the best decision that you could have ever made in your life. That was the wisest decision you could have ever made. And we just want to say thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we're going to play a song, praise God, as we conclude and go out. Glory be to God. And it's by Canton Jones, praise the Lord, and it's called Nobody Cared. When nobody cares and nobody cares, God did. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to die for you. Praise the Lord. To shed his blood for you. To be resurrected for you so that you could live. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would like to hear the ending of this song, please call in right now. The call-in number is 646-929-0305, and then you will be able to hear the end of the song. If you need prayer, please call in now, 646-929-0305. If you would like to comment, you're welcome to do so at this time. 646-929-0305. Praise God. If you are still holding on after the song has been played, we will answer your comments or questions, pray for you, praise the Lord, or agree with you. Glory be to God. Nobody Cares by Canton Jones.
Dear God, it's your boy. I really messed up this time. I'm embarrassed. I'm alone. You know, I need help.
And
Focus on God. because he's focused on you. Praise God. Stay faithful to God because he is faithful to you. Know that you are fantastic. Why? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And may you begin to call him your Father, your God, your King, your Rock, your Strong Tower, your Fortress. And know that God loves you. He's smiling down on you. He wants to show you his loving kindness. He wants to answer your prayers and give you peace. And let the love of the Lord cover you and keep you. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. Have a blessed evening. Good night. Hallelujah, Jesus.